Koutou no mai haere mai ki Kika. It's Tamaki Makaurau's comprehensive art show brought to you every Sunday night here at Planet FM 104.6 or live stream planetaudio.org.nz. Ko Marianne Infante Tene, your host for the next 90 minutes. Team, we've got a really intimate group of people in tonight. But to start that off, I want to just go back into the show last week with the amazing Georgia Parker and the amazing band of Quinn the Human and just play you a little song, a little snippet, just to remind you of how amazing and wholesome and not last Sunday was. But it was such an amazing show, and if you missed it, check it out. It's in a podcast, Planet FM. But yeah, let's start with a song called Shade Queen Number 2. Let's hear it.
Available now, so we pause for a musical break.
Let me tell you a story. Way down south where the air is hot and
hazy.
This
is not the song. I don't know what's going on.
And the days are long and lazy. Deep in the woods, there's a pond. And when the sun shines, the critters have a good time. But when night falls, you better watch out.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the frog feet talk to the bullfrog. Did you ever see a dragonfly? The bullfrog grinned and...
There we go. Was a funny hiccup, wasn't it? For anyone who was actually listening already, the sound desk wasn't working for me, or I wasn't working for the sound desk. I don't know which way around, but anyway, it's always good to talk about that on air. I hope everyone's having a lovely Sunday so far. It's been, for me anyway, it's been quite a restful but also busy weekend. I've been hustling quite a bit. To start my weekend this week, I walked all over Tamaki Makaurau. Well, that's actually not quite true, but I was walking around downtown Auckland anyway and Panmure, handing out cheeky flyers to for my show Panai, which is coming up mid-August. And you know how we are, creatives, always on the hustle, always on the go. And it was super, super humbling because I got to meet some lovely humans and generous business owners who were just interested to help out and give us space in their, you know, business walls and windows, and whoever will be happy to us for us to put any posters up. But to any one of those people that were really generous, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate it. I'm really, really excited for tonight's show because we have a room full, by full, I mean three big creatives who I would love to, one I would love to meet, and two I want to pick their brains. We have the lovely Ankita, Nathan, and Dee Matthews. I'm going to get them to introduce themselves. Hey, Ankita.
Hey, Marianne. How's it going?
Hey, girl. I'm good. I'm good. I'm so stoked you're here.
Yeah, I'm stoked to be here. First time.
Is this your first time?
Yeah.
Like, on radio?
Yeah, actually.
Ever. Guys,
ever.
If only I knew how to cue a drum roll that, or like a clap. I don't actually. But yeah, I'm so, I mean, one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on board is I love hearing about what goes on behind the scenes of not just about a show that's already been, that is about to happen, but all of the hustle and the grind to make those shows happen. So what do you do, Ankita?
Oh, well, Marianne, you would know all about that.
I want to hear it from you.
Well, I'm a producer. I also have been dabbling into writing recently, but yeah, predominantly work as a producer in theater. I've been doing it about for 2 years now, and yeah, like you said, it's mostly a lot of hustling, getting funding, wrangling creatives, convincing people to buy tickets.
Oh, well, that convincing.
Yeah, it's like, man, you're going to have a good time. I don't know what more you want from me.
And if you don't, it's an experience.
Experiences are good to have, good and bad.
That's right. I mean, I think that's the whole conversation, the right, for people to be open-minded, to be open to whatever experience that they will end up seeing.
Yeah.
And also, tickets is, I mean, basement theater.
Yeah, basement guys, they got you covered.
Yeah, right? And like tickets aren't like crazy $100 expensive, you know? They're just
exactly.
Creatives just
cheap
wanting
Wednesdays.
To put on a show. Cheap Wednesdays.
Yeah,
and all those promos.
Always. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Promo codes, guys.
Tell everyone what show in particular you're here for tonight, Ankita.
Yeah, so currently I am producing a show with Nathan, who's sitting right beside me.
Hello.
Oh, that was nice.
That was sultry.
We're wearing headphones, so this sounds very nice. ASMR up in here.
Intimate.
But yeah, we're producing a show called Rachel Chu. It's on from August 6th to 10th, I should say. And yeah, it's a remount, actually. We were on earlier this year doing Fringe. We picked up two rewards, which was really cool.
Was it always a plan to remount it?
Nah, it just kind of...
Was it because of all of those certificates?
Yeah, certificates like gold stars, yeah.
You're like validation for the work.
Yeah, well, I think it just did really well during the Fringe and everyone had a good time, so Basement was really keen for
it
us
to... It sold out, right?
...come back. Yeah, yeah, it was crazy. So, yeah, and we got the Best Newcomer Award.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
And one other one, which is good.
Free Your Mind.
Yeah, that's the one.
Wait, that's an award?
That was the Auckland Live Free Your Mind Award.
Yeah. What does this award entail? What were the criteria?
You can
free your mind.
Exactly. Crack your skull open.
At the time, I think it was given because they thought that it reflected the... Reflected Auckland right now, right here, right now, the best of all the shows.
Yeah.
So that's really lovely.
That's awesome. Mm. That was the sultry voice of Nathan Joe, if anyone wanted to know. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi.
Hi.
This is just us talking to each other, really.
Oh,
how's it going?
Stop
I love
it.
This.
I want to know, is this a devised work? Or how did the work come up or come about?
So I feel like I should probably... do a quick recap on what the show actually is. So the show is I Am Rachel Chu, and Rachel Chu, that's the name of the protagonist of the blockbuster hit Crazy Rich Asians, which was pretty huge last year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I can't believe it's already last year.
Yeah, it's insane. It's
wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And basically, me and three other performers sort of took the...
the liberty.
Challenge, the liberty, the gumption, the challenge of going, hey, what is Crazy Rich Asians not saying? What about it does not represent us as the Asian diaspora in New Zealand and Auckland right here, right now? Mm. And in what ways can we tell our own stories that supposedly Crazy Rich Asians is telling better.
Mm. Man, every single word you just said just then just like tickled my spine. It was so good.
Goosebumps.
Because it's so on point, and I think it is always great when artists comment on other people's works as well, you know, highlighting the other things that may have been left out, you know? I mean, I certainly didn't feel like I was represented in Crazy Rich Asian, despite being the Asian film of the year or extravaganza that it was. So how was the process, I suppose, in terms of exploring and diving into that conversation?
So I'm predominantly a playwright first and foremost, but through this process I kind of had to direct since...
Was that a first?
It was my first time directing. And alongside the other performers, we kind of dove into the text and occasionally the film to look at scenes and just kind of pick them apart, either intellectually looking at the words and their meaning, or just going, what's happening here? And what are our alternate versions? And for instance, how did Nick and Rachel meet? That's sort of left hanging as a question in the film. And we get
brief... Yeah, we don't really see that,
We don't know. So in our version, we tell our own Nick and Rachel love stories.
Because, I mean, love story is quite universal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, how do people meet? I mean, nowadays I genuinely don't know how people meet because there's Tinder and Bumble social media.
And I think there's probably, like, a mass media preconception of what, like, an Asian love story looks like.
But, yeah,
you know,
dude.
As Asian Aucklanders, I can tell you all 3/4 of our stories are quite different and sometimes a little wild, you know?
We can be wild, that's right.
We can be a bit naughty.
You tell the radio that.
I can say naughty before 8:30, right?
Yes, we can, Nathan.
Naughty.
Naughty, we won't have to ask Christine that word. I just want to swivel over to our other friend in the corner over here. Hey, D. Matthews.
What's good?
What's good?
What's
oh, my
popping?
Good. Oh, you just sprinkled a little bit of sparkle to my evening, Christine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
You are like a... I don't actually know the word. You're like a penny I just found now.
Wow.
And I don't know what penny you are. I don't where is this penny from? You know, like, you're sparkling the place. You've got a really, guys, he's wearing the cutest, trendiest yellow beanie on.
Oh, stop it.
And it's brightening up my evening.
Thank you.
Take it however you want to take that, D. Matthews.
I'll take it good in a positive way.
Tell us what brings you in the room.
What brings me in the room? To obviously, you know, promote and advertise my EP, my upcoming EP for September. Well, my name is D. Matthews. I am an Afrobeat singer / rapper. I've been in the game for about 2 years, roughly.
Wow.
Yeah, so still fresh, but...
We're all still fresh here, baby.
That's right. You know, still fresh, but we're still going. We're still going.
Amazing. So, I know nothing about what you just said just then.
Oh, wow.
Afrobeats?
Afrobeat, like reggaeton sort of vibe.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. It's a party on a Sunday. That's never happened to me before. So I want to know, so 2 years. So what were you doing prior to the 2 years?
Prior to the 2 years, I was studying supply chain management and logistics.
Yeah, and then you went to Afrobeats?
Yeah, so quite different, obviously. Quite different to...
I love hearing people's journeys, man.
Yeah,
carry on.
Yeah, but as you said, I mean, it's part of the hustle, it's part of the grind. And, you know, it's just... Music for me is just basically a passion, you get what I mean? There's no reason for getting into something if you don't want to put 120% in it. Do you get what I mean?
Get that tattooed, Nathan.
Yeah.
You know it. You should.
But I want to know, was there a pinnacle, like a specific turning point for you while you were managing all them supplies and you were like, you know what, I want to go back and actually dig down to my passion, that which is what really gets my motor going. Was there a point? If there's none, you can just say no.
None really.
Wow.
I guess it just started kicking in for me about 3 years ago. Like, I love music. I'm an African. Come on. You know, I'm a Nigerian. Every Africans love music, as, you know, all other, you know, nationality as well. But, like, I just felt like there's a reason for me to get into music, because, I mean, let's look at the suicidal rate in NZ. It's crazy, right?
Mm.
You know, it never stops. So, like, I just feel like, for me, get into the music industry, there's a turning point for me to kind of motivate people, you know what I mean? Not just stop there, but, you know, giving a little bit of vibe and, you know, make people dance as well.
So give, like, a little bit of joy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So that's what, you know, got me into the music industry. I don't know if that answers the question.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
It kind of does. And I also just want to, I like the fact you said I'm African, so we love our music.
Oh, of course.
I think what's so beautiful about it is that you point the fact that that is very much a part of your identity, mm, and essentially you're celebrating that, and I think that is so beautiful, and I guess it would fuel anyone's passion, really, if, mm, you're like, this is who,
true,
I am,
true,
this is what runs in my veins,
true,
and this,
true,
is what I'm really good at.
True.
So, mate, I'm dancing for you.
Mate, we should all be dancing right now.
Mate,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm really excited. It's really always so fascinating when I have people in a room, mm, that are all coming from different corners of whatever their mahi is. We have a writer, and a really good one too, guys. I just want to add a little name drop, Nathan, over here. Nathan Joe wrote Yellow Peril, Scenes from a Yellow Peril. And we, Proudly Asian Theatre, had the pleasure of being part of the first public play reading, mm, of that script, and I still can't believe I'm friends with you. I'm going to say that right now.
What?
I'm claiming our friendship. Everyone needs to know I'm friends with Nathan Joe. But I'm so stoked and so proud that there is someone like you who is so bold and so articulate and not afraid to write the words that a lot of us just sort of ruminated in our own little spaces. But do you know what I'm trying to say?
Well, that's like the loveliest thing I've heard today, definitely.
The fact that's today, I'm glad other people say nice things to you every other days. But mate, do you recognize that for yourself?
I think that resonates. And what Dee Matthews was saying actually before about why he does the art, you know, why he makes his work, rather than, you know, pinpointing a precise moment, it's sort of like a cumulative thing of your life, of wanting to create work and wanting to create work that is sort of equipment for living, you know, that gives you tools to survive, gives you tools for hope and, you know, dancing, music, poetry, theatre.
Something that gets your soul moving.
Gets your soul moving. A friend on Facebook said, you know, you should see these shows in Auckland. You're really lucky. You have all these great dance shows. See art. It gives you wings. And it's such a simple statement, but I really liked it. You know,
it gives
you wings.
You know the song, such a random tangent, but you know the song On the Wings of Love?
Maybe.
If you don't, look it up, guys. I don't actually know who the singer is. But it's a thing, like, you know, love gives you wings. Like, it makes you fly, and a lot of the time the people I come across in the arts are people who are just so in love with the thing that they're so passionate about that you see them just be and create all these amazing things, and they're just generating so much effortless joy that you're just like, man, I want whatever you're eating.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want whatever that is. What about you, Ankita? Was there a point or a significant moment you're like, you know what? No one's making shit. No one's making things. It's okay. Time for me to step in.
Yeah. No, we were actually talking about this the other day, me and Nathan, about how we just can't imagine a life where we're not making things, and how it would actually, you know, and it does for some people, like, it can be really hard when you're creative and you're not creating.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel really privileged to be, like, able to do it, you know, and luckily my family has been accepting, you know. I have the classic, you know, Asian family didn't quite understand, but yeah, I've been lucky enough to, you know, bring them around.
That's so good.
Yeah, and I totally agree. It's what you guys were saying before, like, art and music and theater gives so much color to people's lives, and it really does. Like, it gives you wings, and it's like that hope when the world is
a mess. We can just say it's a mess.
A bit of a mess. Bit of a cluster, not 8:30 yet.
Yeah, we'll wait.
Yeah.
We'll release all of that.
But, and it, yeah, it just shows the humanity, and it brings people together. And, it, you know, this is like, people say this stuff all the time, but
But it's true. That's why people say it all the time, because it's true.
I mean, imagine your day without any music, without any design, without any fashion. It's like 1984. It would really, be blank
space.
Wait,
1984?
Oh, you know the George Orwell book? Is it?
Oh, my God.
You know, we're...
Do I not have
Marianne, you need to read 1984.
Guys.
Oh, actually, it's so terrible.
I'm all forward names. I'm all forward song titles. Mainly because my massive tiny brain
can
contain...
You have too much to think about. You're too busy hustling.
Numbers as well. I trip up.
But actually, it's basically about a world which is just devoid of any... beauty or people's individuality, and it just paints this like dystopian world, and people's thoughts are controlled, or they're told to control their thoughts and not think outside the box, basically. And
and that's the world we'd live in without art, I think.
Yeah,
honestly,
genuinely.
Yeah.
Oh, you all just encapsulated like how I would want to describe why art is so important. Mm. Oh, already so much fire to my soul tonight. Thank you so much. We can end the show there, really. I'm always so, so happy whenever I'm talking to Ankita, because one, she's got a lovely voice. Two, the things that come out of her beautiful face is just so, like, informative, and it's just true and genuine, and it's valuable stuff that people need to hear. I would have you in a panel any day, girl.
Oh, any day. I love having you around. You're like a beam of sunshine.
Oh, my God, guys.
That's what's up.
Complimenting each other. You know, just keep it coming.
My outfit doesn't reflect my sunshine today, but it's fine. I'm comfortable and warm. That's what matters. So you're writing?
Yeah, a little bit. I've started dabbling in it.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? I'm working on a play at the moment, which is actually going to be part of the Fresh Off the Page
series. That's what I was trying to get at.
That Pat runs, which has been amazing so far. I can't actually say the title because it's not past 8:30.
OMG.
I guess we'll just have to wait.
Oh, my God, naughty.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Guys,
anyway.
7 minutes is fine. Yeah, okay, well, we'll skip that over. Well, I'm going to head over here because Dee Matthews, first of all, I love your name.
Oh,
I love that you just embrace that. I'm like, do I just call you Dee or do I call you Matthew? Like, but it's Dee Matthews.
Actually, my nickname is Dark Chocolate, but you can call me Dee if you want.
Is that what the D's for? Well, obviously not. You can't. You don't need to tell us. Fine. I'll find out.
You'll find out.
I'll find out off here.
Oh,
but dark chocolate.
Yeah, that's what they call me.
Mate, yeah. I love that. Mm. But also, I've had to look up your music. He's on Spotify team if you want to check it out. Dee Matthews, D.Matthews. I love that there's no space. It's just one word. With that punctuation, we don't follow that full stop, do we? It's just Dee Matthews.
It's just Dee Matthews.
Is that something that you sort of figured out after the 2 years, or was that quite earlier in your career?
I guess it was quite early. I don't know. It's just something that came up to me. Because my actual name is David Matthews.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I don't know. It just kind of came randomly, D.Matthews.
Mate. If you're buying it, I'm buying it. So if I've got your music up here. What should we listen to first? We've got Day by Day.
If you feel the need to actually dance tonight, like just get up on your feet and dance, I'd say Pista La Pista.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello. All right, guys. I'm going to play. How do we say Pista La Pista?
It's a Spanish word, but you can say Pista La Pista.
What does it mean?
It means...
Give us a little bit of story, like intro before I play it.
Okay, story. So the inspiration actually came from, I don't know, there was just a time, because I normally get my inspirations around 12 a.m., 1 a.m.-ish.
This is me.
Yeah.
Writers in the room, when's your writing time?
3 a.m.
Same.
Oh, for real, yeah.
Like when I should be having REM, like I should be dreaming some sweet dreams, but I'm just writing. So 2 a.m., always?
Yeah, around that time.
And obviously you're a bit of a writer too, because you've got to write your music. And it's rap.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys do it. I genuinely don't know.
Yeah.
There's a rap in I'm Rachel Chu.
Yes.
You should check out I'm Rachel Chu. I'm plugging it for you.
Yeah, thank you.
It's good.
Yeah.
Like, it is amazing. It'll blow your mind and that hat off your head.
Okay.
Such a great hat.
Such a good hat.
Just go.
Yeah, so like, I was just walking out one time and because I look at the stars and that kind of gives me a little bit more in-depth inspiration. I was looking at the stars, sitting down, you know, trying to get all these words and, you know, bit and pieces stuck in my brain. And I was just like, okay, I've got a chick. She comes at me. We're just having fun. I'm trying to get at you, blah, blah, blah. But it's just on a good vibe, you know, sort of thing. So that kind of came out as pista la pista. I don't know. It's just something I've kind of been thinking about, and it just...
So it's a vibe.
Yeah, and that's sort of vibe, yeah.
What does pista la pista actually mean?
A chick.
Oh.
Yeah, a chick. But, like, it's more in depth than just a chick.
Chick the chick?
The chick, yeah.
I'm trying to figure it out. Guys, I don't know. I don't speak Spanish. ¿Cómo está? ¿Cómo está? Whatever. Okay. Anyway, okay. Let's play the music.
I see.
Let's play the music. All right. This is Pista la Pista by D. Matthews, guys.
Nini, nini, nini. No, 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 no. Nini, nini, nini. No, 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 no. Godman. Step on the dance floor, wine to the beat. Hey. Shake your body, lo lo lo, ya ya ya, ya ya ya, ya ya ya. Take it down, nana. Break it down, nana. Take it down, nana. Pista la pista, di baile baila la compas. Pista la pista, di baile baila la. Oh ya mukulu, oh ya mukeke, oh mukulu mukulu mukeke, oh mukulu mukulu mukeke, oh ya mukulu mukulu mukeke. Baby girl, you're the one. I know you savvy me, nana. Oh, ya wine that thing, oh, ya break that thing, oh, ya shake that thing, nana. Brookie baby, big blue eyes, I like your size. My baby killing me with kindness. My baby killing me with kindness. Oh, yeah. Chinkololo, oh, yeah. Wanna, wanna. Sikololo, wanna. Chinkololo, oh, yeah. Kolo. Oh ya bere maleko mujojo, bere maleko mujojo, bere maleko mujojo. Manyoma, chukuyoma. Pista la pista, di baile baila la compas. Pista la pista, di baile baila la. Oh ya mukulu, oh ya mukeke, oh mukulu mukulu mukeke, oh mukulu mukulu mukeke, oh ya mukulu mukulu mukeke. Pista la pista, di baile baila. Pista la pista, di baile baila la. Oh ya mukeke, oh mukulu mukulu mukeke, oh mukulu mukulu mukeke, oh ya mukulu mukulu mukeke.
Wow. Hello. Party. Party, party. So, like, have you ever played that in the clubs? Like, have you had the chance to play your music?
I think about once or twice. Well, it really depends on the DJs, if they love me.
Have you ever, like, DJed?
No, I'm not a DJ.
Is this something you'd want to do? Or, like, okay, what I mean by DJ, I mean, like, has anyone ever been like, I've got this really mean party happening. Can you be in charge of the music? You know, like when you're in a car and you're on a road trip and you're the DJ? That could be my level of DJ. I stress out. I freak out. And I'm here controlling the Spotify. Guys, what is Kick-Arts thinking, right? Richard Green, come back. I mean, he will soon. He's coming back soon. We don't know when yet. We'll do a release for you, Richard? But yeah, well, like... Is it something you also like doing, like being in charge of the music in the car or in a party?
I don't mind, but you see, the thing about me is I like to change songs a lot. Someone thinking about me being a DJ will probably think I'm a worse DJ.
We'll never finish a song, is that what you're saying? I'm like that if I definitely don't know what's going on, which is most of the time. But I'm the kind of person that was like, what, like if you had a playlist, okay, I'm going to ask all of you. If you had a playlist, what would you play on a road trip? Mine would be ABBA, like Mamma Mia.
Oh, damn.
Have a mo. Mamma Mia. Yeah, guys. What is that one playlist?
The one Queen, because that's always a...
Oh, you mean like an album?
Or like an album, yeah. Oh. I mean, obviously, if you made your own album, Nathan, you can share it to everyone if it's on Spotify.
There is one road trip song that I love. It's called Sweater Weather by The Neighborhood, I think. Is it?
We should listen to that. I've heard of that recently.
It's so good, dude. Put that on, like, on a summer's day when you're driving down to the beach with your mates. It's vibing.
You know what? I'll play that when we're finishing the show tonight,
so
people can be like,
"That would be amazing. I would love you forever."
This is the weather outside, which is not true, but, you know, placebo effect. What about you, Nathan? What's a song or a
album? Well, my request is from Frank Ocean's Channel Orange.
That's
so
right.
That's silky smooth. I would put that on any day.
And you're like, I'm going to drive some sweet trips. Yes.
It's 8:30, by the way.
Oh.
Naughty time.
Scandalous.
What about you? If you had one album that you can't skip or you have to finish every song, what would it be?
Mm. I'd say African Heat. That's like an African playlist.
Oh.
That I can't get my hands off.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's reaching for their phone.
Okay. Notations,
there we go. Hey, I love hearing from people who actually have musical taste.
Yeah.
Because I don't.
Same.
I genuinely don't. Yeah. I'm like, I will move to whatever beat is going on, and I will slow dance if that's what's up. But I don't know. I think there's... It says a lot about a person as well, you know, what music they do listen to.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, you know, if it's making you move, what's going on there? You know?
I know.
You know. I was talking to these guys while we were listening to D. Matthews' amazing song, Pista la Pizza. Guys, I'm hungry.
Oh, no.
Pista la Pista. Absolutely butchered it for you, but you know what? You'll get some followers because of that, because pizza brings people good vibes. I was just asking these guys, these wonderful creatives in the room, in the studio, I want to talk to the human that are these beautiful three people, because a lot of the time when you see people's creative works, you often see the product in the end after they've done all the, you know, sweating all the blood and the tears and the sweat, but really, you know, what are the essence? And that could be as, you know, take that conversation as shallow as to, I got here on an Uber. But, you know, if you want to, Ankita, tell us, how did you become the human that you are today as a creative and as a POC woman in this industry? How does your beautiful story begin?
Well, my Uber did drop me off in the wrong spot, so I did have to run here.
I did start that.
But, this is like a draw my life on a YouTube, but I can't draw it, so I'll try to use my words.
Oh, yeah. Word storytelling, here we go.
I immigrated to New Zealand with my family when I was about 6 years old, and that was a pretty intense, traumatic, I'd say, experience for me. It was because I didn't really understand what was happening at the time. And the next couple of years were quite difficult because I got bullied, like, quite badly during my primary school, middle school, high school. It was like, racially motivated, so it was, like, a lot of racism. You'd be surprised what kids pick up
from adults
and media.
Kids can be the dumbest and the smartest and meanest.
Now I'm just afraid of children. And
I don't blame you, sis.
Nah, not at all. I guess a lot of my formative years were very lonely and very angry and just like a lot of confusion about who I was and where I belonged in the world. And to add to that, you know, of being an immigrant and not having any friends, I was also like the black sheep of my family. My dad's like an accountant. My brother's always been like super smart, super into his chess champion or something. I don't know. Just like the perfect golden child.
Wow.
And I was like the weird, like creative one that liked to like
paint.
Even
the coolest.
You know it. You should see photos of me. I should post those like when I was younger.
Share it, girl. Share it.
Damn. I used to be like super, super chubby because my mom would just keep feeding us. And, you know, like Asian moms, they're like, it's baby fat. And you're like, I'm 15, mother. I don't think it's baby fat.
It doesn't hurt as much if you fall.
And I used to have great big bushy hair that would go down to my butt because I wasn't allowed to like get a cut short. Yeah.
Was that a cultural thing?
Just my mom just thought it was more feminine. And then eventually she like cut it to like a pixie cut, and then she was like, "Oh, it actually looks pretty good."
Extreme
makeover, Ankita edition. It's pretty hilarious actually. If you look at my old ID photos, I look like a criminal or serial killer basically. It's pretty hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, so yeah, I was pretty, like, messed up kid. And it took me a long time to, like, just get any confidence at all and, like, just be okay with who I was. And a lot of it had to do, I think, with, like, the sort of things media I consumed. And, like, finally finding friends who were also misfits and finally feeling like you were part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And
finding a tribe.
Yeah, finding mm-hmm. your tribe, exactly. And it literally was, you know, like, just we were, like, the weirdest kids in school. Like, we had, like, I wouldn't go into it.
But
we
all made sense. We're all creatives. You all made sense to one another, right?
Exactly, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And since then, like, I've just basically never wanted anyone else to feel that way. You know, like, totally left out and treated like, can I swear now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like, just treated like shit, you know? And
as long as it's in context, obviously,
yeah,
you can
that was in
express
context.
Yourself.
Yes, and there's feelings and words. I'm not as eloquent as Nathan, but I'll give it a shot.
We can all try.
I'll do Matthews. Wordsmiths right next to me. Yeah, so, and I studied communications, and that's basically the study of media and how we view the world, basically, through, yeah, how we consume content and how that shapes our view of the mm-hmm. world. And a lot, and, you know, it just connected with me instantly, the way people are represented in news and films and the words, like, you know, curry muncher or, you know, whatever you want to say, it, like,
however you want to define...
Yeah, like Apu yeah. and the Simpsons. Like, people used to, like, you know, say shit to me, like, come again, you know, thank you, come again, all that sort of stuff. Like, you know. Anyway, so I'm sure we can all relate to this on some level.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Basically, yeah, the work I want to create is just to, like, help empower people, and that's, like, everyone. And not just the work, but, like, during the process as well, I just want people to, like... That's why I became a producer, just to feel supported. And just to, like, connect people who might not know each other and, you know, find their tribe, basically. Yeah.
That's so amazing. Because essentially you're also essentially the spine to a lot of the works that you're creating.
Because
you're the center of it, right? You're like, oh, I'm about to talk atoms and I don't actually know what I'm talking about. You're the center of the atom.
Nucleus?
The nucleus.
The protons.
Yeah,
neutrons.
you know yeah, me. Yeah. I'm not a wordsmith either. Anyway.
That's okay. It's all about
mate. What a story.
Yeah.
And you literally see that in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I tried to, you know, I want to hear these guys' story as well. So, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I just really, because I've had a lot of friends who are like creatives and, you know, a lot of them coming from Asian backgrounds, just having these huge expectations put on them from their families. And like I've seen them depressed and, you know, get in a really dark space. And I just want to be that person that's able to help people, you know, just be themselves and achieve their dreams.
Deconstruct those ideas as
exactly.
well.
Yeah, within our own communities and cultures. Like, I think it's really important to show our communities that, you know, this is valuable and mm-hmm. this is who we are. And it's
and now you can go back to the young'uns and be like, hey, this is how we talk to other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Other people of color and who might not look like you. Mm. You don't say whatever you heard when you were younger because who wants that repeated?
Mm.
Nathan,
hello.
He's wearing... okay, I just want to talk about your jersey for a second before we get into your story. Wow. He's got a Mama Mary holding a white Jesus jersey.
It's pretty sexy.
It's pretty sexy. I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions, but how are you?
I'm good. Well, I'm good. I'm real tired because rehearsals have been sort of go, 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 go at the mm-hmm. moment. But
Are you still directing this one?
Yeah, I'm still directing. But this time around, we have a dramaturg / sort of directing mentor, Dione Joseph.
She's beautiful.
She is. She's a goddess.
She's amazing, honestly. I'm so stoked I met her earlier this year, actually.
Dope.
And she's just been everywhere.
Yeah.
She's doing some great mahi. But what's your story?
So I'm a Chinese Kiwi born and raised in Christchurch. Actually, the same city as you.
Keep dropping in,
yeah,
baby.
Oh, my God.
I know, we're the same person.
The same person.
Guys, there's a secret. It's out. I am Nathan Joe.
And growing up as a queer Chinese guy, boy, teenager in Christchurch, it wasn't, you know, seamless. It mm-hmm. wasn't without its hiccups, just like with Ankita. I didn't experience any overt bullying, but it's just... Being different is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Funny that, right? And films were always my solace and my escape. and the friends I had, you know, we loved watching films together. They were transportative. And, you know, I don't want to say they saved my life, but they pointed me in the right direction. They helped me. They provided me with that equipment for living. Yeah, so I went to broadcasting school and studied communications just like Ankita did, actually.
Did you?
Because I wanted to be a filmmaker.
Wow.
Or a screenwriter. So yeah. So for my final year of broadcasting school, we had to do an internship. Mine sent me up to Auckland. Really didn't gel with being a PA for, like, screen productions. I mean, I understand that's an entry-level job, but it was just kind of like, what? What is this? What's the point in working within a sort of artistic practice if you're not actually creating art?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question.
Is it, you know, any better than just working anywhere else, really?
An office.
But one of the benefits of Auckland is it has a thriving theatre community. And I saw that, dabbled slowly, kind of dipped my toe in the water, started playwriting, and I was like, shit, I can say that now, shit, maybe I like this. And actually, it bridged a lot of the elements, I liked about filmmaking, you know, the storytelling aspect, but with actually a wider purpose or a more immediate purpose of community, to me anyway, at the time, and it still does. Like, storytelling, but with flesh and bodies and people and
in the space
and the community feeding back to you live, it's kind of amazing and kind of reflected, you know, what I believed to be the reason I wanted to do it in the first place. So kind of doing that back and forth, doing jobs and deciding whether I was working part-time or full-time, or that was sort of the process, and now I've sort of finally settled on going, actually, I just want to do art. I don't really want to work in a day job. Or not a day job that isn't conducive.
Fulfilling yourself.
Yeah, fulfilling an artistic purpose. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's where I am, and I'm broke as shit.
Bone dry broke,
baby. Khalid, young, dumb, broke.
Yes, definitely. I feel that way sometimes.
That was my theme song when I went to Greece last year. But I was in Greece. I could be young, dumb, and broke.
Nice.
I was very broke. I was very dumb and very broke. That's so beautiful, Nathan. I didn't actually know that that's where your, I guess, your artistic whakapapa came from. Wow. And you're born and raised in Christchurch.
Yeah.
Oh, my. One way or the other, all of our whakapapas are all migrated to New Zealand. So I'm just like, wow, this is a beautiful room to be in with. I'm
it
like,
is.
Team. And right. Dee Matthews.
Yes.
With that beautiful beanie on.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us your story.
My story. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm on a journey, me. I'm on a.
Yeah, good. Talk to that mic.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on a journey, me. I'm a born and. Born and bred in Nigeria, came here 2006.
Same.
Yeah.
What month?
May.
Ah. We were almost soulmates just then.
Oh, for real? What month did you come?
November.
November. Oh, it's a long down the track.
You can't change your answer now. Carry on.
Yeah, so I've been here since 2006. Went to Australia for about 3 to 4 years. Stayed there for a little bit and then back here. But yeah, like back when I was a youngin', I was corrupted, you know, by a lot of people older than me, because that's, I mean, I was a young child back then, you get what I mean? And
very impressionable.
I was, sorry?
Very impressionable.
Yeah,
age.
Yeah. So like the pressure of like wanting to feel among, you know, other people was there. And you know, they would tell me, like, people in the, you know, like, gangs. You know, I used to be part of the gangs, like, Crips, Bloods. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, they used to push me around. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And it's something I would do in the past. So I got corrupted, you know, just hanging around, you know, the wrong people when I was a youngin' back then. So, like, I just felt the need to actually change, because obviously the more you grow, the more knowledge, you know, you start having on a daily basis. So
yeah.
The more you grow, the more knowledge and, you know, I want to put it like
Life experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, experiences that you get on a daily basis. So I've learned so much from that, and that kind of gave me the impression to kind of portray good music, and, you know, not just good music, but just something that'll make you feel better, something that'll, you know, heal you, you know, to motivate you and become a better person, you know, than what you were, or, you know, than what you are, really. You get what I mean? So, like, yeah, it just got to a point where I was just like, I need to make good music and just kind of be someone that'll kind of change the world, or just be a part of the people that'll change the world. Just like, I mean, let's talk about Nelson Mandela. He's done great things. Let's talk about Fela Kuti. Fela Kuti is he's the one that actually invented Afrobeat. Yeah, back in Africa. So, like, following the steps of, you know, Fela Kuti. Yeah, just, I've started from the bottom. Obviously, that's how everybody started. But just, you know, trying to grace and bless other people's lives to become a better person. Yeah,
that is so beautiful. Mm. Well, I mean, I think it's so important that you're talking about who was the original, or the person who invented and created Afrobeats. Mm. It's so important for people like yourselves to follow through those footsteps, because the future generation after you are only going to remember what this original creator created because of you, you know? Mm. And I think, in a way, like you were talking about your history and your journey, in a way, your music was your transporter, was your escape and savior at the same time, right? That's so cool. And I love that, the same language, but it all sort of, the nuances of all those words kind of land one way or the other for everyone in the room. And point of difference. We all have our points of differences, and we're all in the same room because of it. How great is that? I'm reveling, guys. I'm just sitting there, guys. I'm like, wow. And I think this is why people should talk. Like, you know, conversation is so important, because regardless what, you know, what area or corner you're from, you will have some sort of similarity that can spark unity, right? And when you have a community, life becomes so much more bearable than dealing with it on your own. Mm. And yeah, I'm really happy for everyone here. I want to know, did anyone here have to do some really grotty, gross part-time work to be able to pursue what they're doing here now? Like, have you had to work crazy 12-hour shifts at KFC on New Year's Day where someone peed outside the door? I did that. Mm. You know, like, is it something that you've had to do to be here now that was just like, this is so not what I want to be doing?
Actually,
and you're like, supply managing.
I'm still doing an 80-hour shift per week.
What?
Whoa. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
That's why you write at 12 a.m., because you don't have any other time.
Actually, yeah. That's what it comes down to sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not because that's the ideal time. It's actually not the ideal time.
It's the only time you can fit it in.
Yeah, it's just that's what you're given.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Mm. You got to feed yourself.
That's right, that's right.
You got to put a roof over your head.
But, like, the thing is, if you can't do it at a young age, then when are you going to do it? When you're 40, 50? Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's no point. There's no time. It's wasted.
There is no right time, though. No,
yeah,
you know, right?
Yeah.
Time is now. I feel like they should be in campaign for something. So, like, 80 hours a week, are you still supply managing? Is that an actual word?
Yeah.
That's the title. Supply manager. I felt like I was a dud saying that.
No, I got you.
You're a supply manager, so you're supply managing.
Yeah, so, like, I do two different jobs on a daily. So I work, 80-hour shift. I work as a logistics coordinator at a different firm somewhere. And the second job is working at Coca-Cola.
Do you get free Coca-Cola?
Sorry?
Do you get free Coca-Cola? I'm not addicted or anything. Don't tell me about that.
Yeah, we get free drinks. Not Coca-Cola per se, not Coke per se.
But the same, it's a company, right?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's where you get your sugar hype from. Like, fizzy drinks.
I guess.
Everywhere.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it's more like an adrenaline, you know, like, it's just in the African blood.
Has that made your, because you have a sustained financial situation, has that made your art sustainable for you? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Mm. It does. To answer the question. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, anyone who's got another experience, I've always found it hard having a full-time job.
Yeah.
While I'm trying to follow through my... I mean, maybe because different tangible artistic pathways.
Mm.
But, I struggled, man. Like...
I guess if it comes under passion, you wouldn't really care. You get what I mean? Like,
well, you're making me question my whole life.
No. Yeah, because I'd say personally, even though I'm doing an 80-hour shift per week, doing music for me is just more of passion, not what I like, but what I love. You know, like it's kind of like an arm of food for me, which is like an in-depth love for something.
Mm.
And as I said, it's just to create harmony and unity and just create love to the world and just motivate them.
Mm.
Yeah,
I wish what I loved made me money.
Mm. It's coming. Yeah. It's coming.
It'll come. Thank you. You heard it from Demon, these guys. It's on its way. What about you guys, Ankita and Nathan?
Well, I've never had to do like a really awful job, and I'm pretty privileged, actually.
Lucky man.
It's always been mostly kind of office-y, administrative or operational sort of management sort of stuff, just within like the TV industry.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue was always the time balance, and I'm really bad at working a 40-hour week or 40-plus-hour week in a sort of soul-destroying job or even just a mind-numbing job and then trying to be artistic outside of that. So that's been always the hardest struggle generally, is balancing a day job with then if I have a huge project on and actually still enjoying the project. And I've kind of come to this point in my artistic career where I'd prefer to be broke and more productive than have a steady income, but that could change next year. I mean, I'm constantly flip-flopping with whether I want to just do it as a passion or try to pursue art as a career.
Yeah. That's a whole conversation on its own though, right?
Absolutely.
Just the sustainability of the arts. And the unfortunate thing is that, the creative process, even your downtime, you're actually working as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When...
I'm the worst of us.
Yeah. So this was part of
this is my downtime.
Yeah.
This exactly. is my downtime.
Yeah, it's super. It's terrible because, if you're working like 40 or 80 hours... And then you're working when, you should be sleeping.
Writing when you're meant to be sleeping.
Yeah. I mean, people still do amazing things, but it's just crazy that that's the baseline. Like, that's just the expectation. Yeah. People just tell you, well, if you're passionate about it.
You've got to be able to make it happen.
Yeah, just suffer. And you're like, you wouldn't.
That's the word.
Stiff upper lip, chap.
But I love the accents. Yeah, it's coming up.
You would never tell, an engineer or, just someone with a conventional 9-to-5. Just deal with it. Oh, you got to work for free for, 2 weeks. Mm. And just do it.
It's like, don't people pay for your tickets? Passion?
Yeah.
Come on.
That lack of value for...
Yeah. And I think, imagine if we had value for the arts and our arts ecology. Imagine how much better it would be. I mean, it's already pretty great, actually. Mm. And that's with scarce resources. Imagine if there was... funding for every basement show, for instance.
Oh, my God.
Imagine if that was the standard.
Yeah.
That is like utopia in my brain. Like,
a lot of places where you go and you fill out what do you do and they'll give you like a checklist. Artist isn't even on there.
I struggle with those lists.
Yeah.
I think I shut down and I'm like rocking in a corner. So I'm like, it's just a survey, man.
And when think about it, the creative industry contributes so much to the economy. And
so much.
And not just directly, but as like it supports the tourism industry, it supports the hospitality industry. So many, and the general brand of New Zealand is really like, the creative industry does a lot for like the international, how you look in the world. It's called like soft power, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what a German car has, or a Japanese camera, or Swedish furniture. It's because of that, just that soft power or mana it acquires over time.
Well, history and art goes hand in hand, right? Like history is embedded in art, and art the other way around.
Exactly. So it's definitely worth investing in. And those countries have only been able to succeed like that because the government's actually made a concentrated effort to, like, fund and, like, create that infrastructure, like Nathan was saying.
So here are three artists looking for money.
Yeah, someone give someone money, you know, also my bank account is...
I think for me, I'd be interested to just have this conversation with people who can talk about when the money's at. You know, even just have a conversation, like, for someone to be listening to our reasons and to why we're doing it. Because you're right, so many artists do suffer just to be able to follow the passion or to be able to write that thing at 12 or 3 in the morning. But it's always like either smooth sailing and it just naturally happens overnight, or we're all pushing uphill. And you know what? Imagine we're all high functioning here, 80 hour a week. What's your day like? What when do you wake up, D. Matthews?
5 a.m.
5? My word. I'm just sleeping. I'm about to sleep at 5 a.m. When does your day end before you start your passion?
When is my day before I start my passion?
Like, when does your office or supply managing logistical stuff finish?
So that finish. Okay, so my day shift starts. So my day shift starts about 8 a.m. But I get up at 5 because, I don't know.
Life.
Lyrics might come into in handy. So I start jotting down. Then I go back to sleep.
There's a routine.
Yeah. So like 8 a.m., start my day shift, finish 4:30. Then I've got about 4 to 5 hours downtime. Start day night shift about 10 p.m. And that goes on to 6 a.m. Then straight from there, go to my morning shift.
So you just don't sleep, really?
No, not weekdays, but weekends.
Right.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my word exactly there, Nathan.
Yeah. It's all our words now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. I mean, on a weekend, you know, you wake up like, oh, whew, I've done a good hour, you know, check your bank account. Wow, okay.
See, okay, this is my question, right? We're all high functioning. Yeah. Imagine what we can all do with proper sleep. You know, like Ankita, you're doing such amazing work. Nathan, you're doing such amazing writing, and you're just 80-hour weeks and making music on Spotify. Imagine the extra stuff you'd be able to generate, or like just the extra pizzazz and juice in your brain because you've had a solid 8 hours sleep every day.
Yeah.
I would be so much more better than where I am now.
Sleep is literally vital to your brain function.
True.
And yeah, that's why a lot of artists you develop bad habits, right? And it's like detrimental to your health in the long run. So it's actually like, it's a huge problem. And it can affect like your mental health and your physical health.
True.
And
that is so on point. And you know what? Half the time, that's why I walk around like I'm like drunk. Because you know, when you don't have sleep, you're just as functional as an intoxicated person. And I'm like,
I just thought you were drunk, Mary.
Oh, no.
Oh my God.
Guys.
But yeah, they have the same issue in the medical profession as well, which is insane.
And these are our medical professionals.
Operating on human beings, you know? We're like
running on caffeine.
Feelings and things. But yeah, it's just the state. It's because capitalism, basically, guys.
Oh.
Yeah, if you're not working, you might as well be dead because you're useless if you're not making money.
That's the world that we live in nowadays.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, guys, on that note, I want to play D. Matthews, if you don't mind. I want to know a little bit about your music hustle.
Okay.
What's that about?
Hustle.
Yes, hustle. Like we all doing here. We're all hustling.
That's right. The inspiration I got from hustle was just... on a daily basis, everybody's trying to, you know, get somewhere in life. You get what I mean? You've got all these dreams, vision, and, you know, you're trying to reach somewhere. You know, you've got that destination. But what are you doing on a daily basis? You know, are you just falling away and just, you know, relaxing most of the time, thinking, you know, all that dream and vision is going to come and get you? Or you're hustling and grinding 24/7, you know, trying to make that paper to sponsor your dream, you know, to invest in that dream and to make it happen for yourself, to make it bright, shine. You get what I mean? That's kind of like what hustle is all about. You just trying to hustle and, you know, trying to make your dreams come true and not thinking about, you know, the negativities, but just falling away and just going, hammering, trying to, you know, make yourself prosper in what you're doing.
So the subtext of hustle is make your dreams come true, which sounds quite Disney. So good on you for going for it.
Thank you.
All right, guys, this is Hustle by D. Matthews.
Y'all already know what it is. It's your boy D. Matthews. We represent. Ain't contemplating around the streets. Looking towards God to assist the miseries. Ain't trying to fuck the time, but I'm just trying to pick the pieces up. Educate my little sister, educate my little brother. Ain't trying to stop the hustle, ain't trying to stop the grind. Just trying to get in line, fixing all the ones in blind. Not trying to get the money, not trying to get the fame. But realizing purpose, ain't trying to work the way. We're gonna fight, gonna work, gonna drive. Working overtime till I reach 45. So no click-clacks and no trip-flops. Sitting back with no flip-flops. No tip-top and no drop-top. We just pop the top and just pop the lock. Making and flipping, trusting them, looping, we ain't tripping. We taking no moment, helping the needy. We living and driven. To succeed, we go get it. Go Lions, go Fighters. Trying to get this planet kicking. We're flipping and winning. Hustle, hustle, living life. Hustle, hustle, living life. Hustle, hustle, living life. Cause I'm a go-getter, pro fighter, go Lion, go Lion. Hustle, hustle, living life. Hustle, hustle, living life. Hustle, hustle, living life. Cause I'm a go-getter, pro fighter, go Lion, go Lion. Used to be a real thug in the neighborhood. Now I'm counting my blessings to the future. My mama said, change your life and don't look back. Change your life and don't look back. Change your life and don't be the slack. Respect the struggle, just pay the price. That misery that's making you and not killing you. Pay the price, pay the price. Sacrifice. Hustle, hustle, live a lie. Hustle, hustle, live a lie. Hustle. Hustle, live a life, cause I'm a go-getter, pro fighter, go Lion, go Lion. Hustle, hustle, live a life. Hustle, hustle, live a life. Hustle, hustle, live a life, cause I'm a go-getter, pro fighter, go Lion, go Lion.
Something absolutely beautiful just happened in the studio where a group of four creatives just realized they all actually touch one small circle of creative group, which is quite cool because we all know about it. Black Creatives New Zealand.
That's you.
Aotearoa.
Aotearoa. Yeah. You guys carry on the conversation.
Cool.
What
so,
were you talking about?
Yeah, there was an overlap. D. Matthews here is part of BCA, Black Creatives Aotearoa.
That's right.
Which also happens to be my mentor slash dramaturg helps run that, Dione Joseph. So there's that kind of beautiful overlap, and we are rehearsing at Mika Haka's studios at the moment, and D. Matthews, you were there earlier, or you met
him?
Oh,
no. I was at a fashion showcase last night, and it was just like a bunch of fashion designers, you know, collaborating together. And I met with Mika.
Nice.
So wherever you are, shout out to you, Mika, from Black Creatives.
Yeah, and shout out from the team of I Am Rachel Chu. Thank you so much for letting us rehearse in your space.
I love it.
Respect.
That is so great.
Love how small offenders.
But it also really get into it, goes back to that kind of patronage and love of the arts, because this is someone who has been in the arts, has been where we are, has made it, and is basically, you know, out of his own charity, letting smaller groups use his resources. And that's what you need to survive in an arts ecology that doesn't have enough money.
Totally. Really. You need those mentors and those people, like, actually giving you a leg up and sharing that knowledge.
People who know that
they've been there, done that.
People who've had that, that step up and actually empower other people because they get it.
totally, yeah.
Which is going to be us one day, guys.
Mm. Well, I would hope all three of you will help someone else.
Oh, you know, I do my thing. I do my thing.
No.
Shout out to Ooyang.
Oh, cute.
My mentee.
Let's talk about that. I mean, we'll get Dee Matthews caught up. So these two wonderful humans are generous people with their time and who are creating some amazing works. Not directly, but Nathan is mentoring a very new writer, a very fresh writer happening for Fresh Off the Page. So Fresh Off the Page is a monthly play reading that happens at the Basement Theatre for free. So people have no, like, it's accessible, it's affordable because you just got to turn up, pay for your bus trip and get there.
Yeah.
And
do you want to plug the coming show is actually at TAPAC, though.
That's right. Yeah. TAPAC. I was going to go on to that, but I was just like, it's sold out. It's a full house team. But you know what? Yeah, so at the start of the year, we reprogrammed Fresh Off the Page so that it's now delivering 10 new original plays by Asian New Zealand creatives that never would have happened so organically if a platform or a group or an initiative didn't have the leg up you're talking about, you know? Mm. So it's just been an amazing opportunity. And I can speak for myself because now my play that I did last year is happening. And I still buzz out about it, to be honest. But Ankita is writing for it this year. Nathan wrote for it last year. Well, not for it, but it was showcased at Fresh Off the Page. And now, look at you. You're helping a new fresh writer figure out how to do it.
Totally. And sometimes it's a case of being told you can or being told you're allowed to do something. And that, and
it's a permission, eh?
It's permission. Especially, I'm going to say, as people of colour, we aren't always given permission to step outside of our silos or our expected circles. Mm-hmm. So once someone says, actually, you as a
human
Asian artist, though, you don't just have to, and it's such a cliche, but you don't just have to be in the medical profession. You don't just have to be a lawyer. You can write. You might not make a lot of money, but you can. You have permission. And actually, here are some resources. Again, not much, but a mentor, a stage for
a guide,
night,
a form,
guide, an audience.
Right.
A deadline.
Yeah. Oh, something that will help you push yourself as well, eh? That will uplift you when, that hidden permission that validates what you can do.
Yeah, it's just a little fire up your ass.
Yeah.
Ooh, naughty.
Hello. But it's so great. And next week's Fresh Off the Page is by the amazing Renee Liang, who is currently writing and has written the first draft of the Doctor Monologues, which essentially unravels and reveals all of the abuse in the medical field and group of doctors and nurses and whatever happens in those doors that me, as a person who doesn't hang out in that circle, isn't really aware of. And it's not stuff that is covered by mainstream media.
No.
Because, it's not as exciting as talking about abuse in the celebrity Hollywood world, But, I don't know where that was going.
Oh, well, I mean, it's actually quite relevant because Renee herself is an overworked playwright because she's been making theatre for a long time, but she's also she's a paediatrician.
She's a mum.
So this Doctor Monologues thing comes from a real place of, like, experience.
Of
is
care
what she does.
And observation.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. I'm just like, I'm so pumped. But also, yes, it is sold out, guys. So we initially released 80 seats at TAPAC and it went in like 4 days.
Mm.
So we released an extra 20 and all you had to do was register so you can grab those seats. And from previous experience, I'm not saying that the new audience is going to do that. Not all of them show up. So try your luck. Go to the door, write your name on the waiting list. And you know what? Most of the time, you will actually get in. And it's free, Like, when you get free art from someone who's pouring their soul and heart and energy in pages of paper, the least you can do is show up and be involved in that conversation.
Mm.
Listen to their music, listen to their work, to their experiences, because there's a lot of truth in what our writers, like yourselves in
that's
this
right.
room,
yeah, that's right.
you know? Mm. And, like, even just listening to you talk about your song Hustle,
it's on Spotify,
It's a click away.
Give it a F and listen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, and if you don't have premium, get over the ads. You know, it will, you listen to the ad and then listen to the song.
It's just $15. Come on.
Oh. Hey, but sometimes it's hard to get those $15.
Yeah. Actually, it's not just $15.
I reversed that.
I want to know what's coming up for you guys. I mean, what's coming up in terms of like what is your hope for your career and where do you want it to go? And Dee Matthews, for someone who's, you know, doing 80 hours a week, has established yourself as a Afrobeats muso. I don't know what the right term is. I'm so sorry.
Muso, yeah,
great.
Muso.
Great. I'm glad. Validate me. Thank you. but yeah, you know, like what is coming up for you? What is, where do you see your career, or do you not see it going further than the next 2 years? I don't know. Maybe you're like, I'm going to be chef after this.
Yeah. First of all, I see myself at the Grammy Awards. Yeah.
Yes. Can you do me a shout out? Yeah, Marianne, shout out, Marianne.
All right, shout out to Marianne.
This is your Grammy speech, I want to hear it.
All right, shout out to Marianne, she's helped me a lot.
Thank you. That's all I needed. Anyway, yes, so you want to be the Grammys, I support this.
Yeah, so like, not too soon, but I see myself receiving an award at the Grammy. But obviously, it all comes from hustling, grinding, you know, 80-hour shift, you know, putting in that work. 24/8
investing,
not 24/7. You know, invested in that dream, trying to make it come true.
24/8.
That's a thing from me.
I believe you.
Yeah. So like, I've got an EP dropping on the, I think 10th or 15th. I'll put it on my social media real soon. But the month of September, it's gonna be 5 tracks. Afrobeat is a part of it as well, / reggaeton sort of vibe and a bit of rap. Yeah, so I can't wait to let you guys actually hear it. It's going to be pumping, I'm telling you.
Is it going to be a party? Like, how do EPs work? I'm so uncool. Like, uncool, not uncle.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's what I heard too, Marianne.
I heard it too, guys, in my ears. Uncool, like not cool. Like, what do you do for an EP? Do you just, like, play the music and then everyone drinks and have a party? Or like,
as an artist, you could have a party. Like,
how
a
are you doing it?
How am I doing it? So I release the EP and a week or two after, I'm going to have an EP launch. So get a few artists on board as well, you know, perform, do their thing.
Where are you doing that? Are you allowed to tell us yet? You don't have to.
I'm still in process of the planning.
Amazing.
Watch the space.
Yeah. We might get you back in the show and get you back. It's next week.
Let's make it happen.
Yes. Amazing. Are we invited?
Oh.
That's where I was getting to, but it was
Everybody's coming.
Everybody.
What about you, Nathan? What's coming up for you?
So we've got the show, obviously, on the 6th of August to the 10th at the Basement Studio. That's great. You know, we're working hard trying to just get that done. But then after that, kind of going back to the money thing, I suppose, I'm trying to apply for a few residencies because I think that's a semi, not necessarily long-term sustainable, but that's a way that artists can, you know, stay afloat or work on projects without worrying about work, without worrying about not being able to sleep. So hopefully some of those
and having a place
through.
To sleep.
Having a place to sleep, yeah. So I'm hoping over the next year or so I get to just focus on my writing and knock out a few bangers, you know?
Like an EP?
Like an EP, you know? Like the theatrical equivalent to an EP.
I would go to that launch. Nice. That's awesome. Residencies. I've only just started sort of hearing about those things. And I'm like, that is something to look into. But I'm a baby, you know? I feel like I'll...
Oh, really now?
I am, okay.
Marianne is a baby.
I graduated very recently. I'm just very loud and expressive. I'm just a hustler. I don't sleep.
She does. She's one of the best hustlers I know of, like, the current.
Why do you think I'm on this radio show?
Respect.
Hey, Ankita, what's coming up for you? Whoa. Fresh off the page, I'm Rachel Chu.
Yeah, so Rachel Chu is on, as Nathan said. And then after that, I will be... I can say the name now as well. I'll be one of the playwrights who has their play read out in September. It's called Basmati Bitch. So keep an eye out for that.
It's so fun. I heard a reading of it last year when Ankita and I met during a playwright workshop, and I think it's just such a fun, great first play. I heard only like the first half, but it's like...
That means so much coming from
you. It was like high jinxy Asian Coen Brothers sort of Big Lebowski-esque.
I'm romp, so ready.
Bit of action, bit of mistaken identity. Wow. Oh, it's just
It's a crime comedy, like Guy Ritchie style, basically, but with Asians, and they're all dealing rice.
When did you get a reading of that? That was 2017?
So this was
17.
Last year,
yeah.
So Basmati Bitch was workshop, so it was unfinished at the time. It was a workshop, so there was sort of like a workshop reading.
Basically, this the Oriza Foundation ran this workshop called the Asia Playwrights Lab, where they got a bunch of Asian playwrights sort of emerging and gave them the tools to basically develop their ideas into plays. And they provided us with like dramaturgs and actors, and all thanks to funding, guys.
What happens when there's money?
Yeah, exactly. New original great work is made. And yeah, Nathan also developed one of his plays at that workshop. That's actually how we met.
Yeah.
Wait, you only met last year?
Yeah.
That is so insane.
It feels like a lifetime.
That is insane. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking to. I love producing, but I.
And you're great at it too.
Oh, wow, they're too kind. it's just because I work with amazing people, really.
Too kind.
Only an amazing.
Oh, seriously.
Only like, a good producer would say that.
Teamwork
makes
the dream work. Like, my job's very easy when you like work with people who are like passionate and just good and good people. But yeah, so I'm just hoping to create more of my own work. And
you have a company?
Yes, Oriental Maidens.
Hello.
Sort of production company, talent management company. My friend Ninas and I are trying to just get out there, basically, you know.
I love it.
So the five-year plan. You know, someone actually told me recently, they're like, it's okay, you don't have to have a five-year or 10-year plan. Just have a one-month plan or a three-month plan or a one-year plan. Especially for someone like me who just likes to try lots of different things. Like, obviously, you know, in 5 years, I want to be, you know, have a house maybe, I don't know.
Or at least a job that,
you know, like I get paid like okay for, which is creative. Maybe work at Netflix, I don't know.
Don't forget about us.
Yeah,
showrunner.
But yeah, in the meantime, I just want to explore and try different things and
grow.
And by the way, guys, yeah, keep a lookout. Like, so many people always ask me, where do you see all these fundings and residencies? Creative New Zealand, the Asia New Zealand Foundation is also great. Script to Screen, just Google it, honestly. There's so many opportunities out there. And all you have to do is start looking for it.
And if you ask, answers are everywhere as well. Speaking to that five-year plan, I was just talking to a friend about the other day. I do goals. I do yearly goals and plans, because I feel like goals is something, a milestone I can work towards. Then, like, because planning is always, like, you know, life happens while you're busy making plans. John Lennon, by the way, guys.
Oh my God.
I know, guys. But anyway, but you know, so I'm just like, I want to know what I want to achieve. And then I will just work my butt off towards that. And if I derail a little bit, I know I have somewhere to go back to. But also, it's always so... It's like, you know, when you're traveling and you get lost in a random-ass lane and alley, and you're like, oh, my God, it's an exciting place.
Take the alleyway.
Exactly, because you take the moment, right?
Yeah, I like that. Like, I think I prefer that as well, like the idea of anchors rather than structures that confine me.
Because as creative, there is no pathway. Everyone has a different story and everyone has a different way
And different way of expressing.
And the more, like, varied life experiences you have, like, the more interesting your art's going to be. So, like, yeah, definitely don't be afraid to just take a tangent, go book that trip to...
Go crazy. But, yeah, like, our versions of writing are all different.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, my way of writing is different from Dee Matthews, different from Nathan's, different from Ankita's. So, and they're all, you know, they all have space and value in what we do. I'm just going to play... Forrest Gump, Frank Ocean.
Thank you.
For you, Nathan. I don't know which one, what version... Frank Ocean.
There's the explicit one. Now it's past time. And I'm sure it's fine.
All right.
It's not a naughty song.
All right.
It's sweet.
This is an inspo song and a gift that Nathan will share to all of you this evening.
A gift
to everyone. Here we go.
I wanna see pom-poms from the stairs. Come on, come on. My fingertips and my lips, they burn from the cigarettes. Forrest Gump, you run my mind, boy. Running on my mind, boy. Forrest Gump, I know you're flawless. I know you wouldn't hurt a beetle, but you're so buff and so strong. I'm nervous, Forrest. Forrest Gump. My fingertips and my lips, they burn from the cigarettes. Forrest Gump, you run my mind, boy. Running on my mind, boy. Forrest Gump, I saw you game, Forrest. I was screaming, run 44, but you kept running past the end zone. Oh, where'd you go, Forrest? Forrest Gump, my fingertips and my lips, they burn from the cigarettes. Forrest Gump, you run my mind, boy. Running on my mind, boy. Forrest Gump, Forrest Green, Forrest Blues. I'm remembering you. This is love, I know it's true. I won't forget you. It's for you forever. It's it's for you forever. Forrest Gump.
So that was Nathan's gift to everyone this Sunday evening. Thank you so much for that, Nathan. I really enjoyed that. I've never actually listened to Frank Ocean's music.
Well, it's never too late to start, Marianne.
Babes, I will take that and I will hold on close to my chest. But the next song I want to share with you guys is a gift from Ankita. Because, you know, I asked everyone if they wanted to hear any music or songs in particular. And this is Sweater Weather by The Neighbourhood from Ankita to all of you guys. Mm. Have a listen. Let me see if I can click it flawlessly.
And all I am is a man. I want the world in my hands. I hate the beach, but I stand in California with my toes in the sand. Use the sleeves of my sweater. Let's have an adventure. Head in the clouds, but my gravity.
way. I don't mind if there's not much to say. Sometimes the silence guides the mind to move to a place so far away. The goosebumps start to raise the minute that my left hand meets your waist. And then I watch your face, put my finger on your tongue cause you love the taste, yeah. These hearts adore everyone the other beats hardest for. Inside this place is warm.
Got a really like long fade out. See, it's still got like 6 minutes, but you know what? Hello, we're back on in the studio. Yeah, that was cool. I haven't heard that song. I just want to do a quick shout out to my Quick Fix second year students at Unitech. They did an amazing season of 5 to 7 minute short plays, all 26 of them. They're all beautiful students, and I'm amazed by all of them. And 30 or 10 seconds, someone explain the confusion that we had about a producer.
So there was a confusion with D. Matthews when he heard that Ankita was a producer. From a music standpoint, it's a different thing. Ankita produces from the perspective of organisational, whereas D. Matthews, can you explain what a music producer does?
Basically, a music producer is just someone who makes music. You know, makes beats, rather. Mm.
Wow. Yeah.
I wish I could make beats.
Yeah, just makes beats.
I wish
beats,
too.
Makes beats, gets the artist in the studio and, yeah, mixes and masters the whole thing, you know, to wrap up and make it a, you know, a track, an actual track.
Yeah, yeah. So, Marianne, that's your
thank you.
Another lesson.
I thought it was just great to say that out loud. But anyway, we've got a minute and a bit for you guys to share this shameless plug moment. Let's start with you, D. Matthews. Talk about what you're here plugging away. Plug away.
Okay. Shout out to everyone out there. Shout out to my fans. Shout out to Mika, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Shout out to Ime Zwan, Leilani Davies as well. You guys can catch me on the gram, D.Matthews, double T. Facebook, same thing. Spotify, same thing. Yeah.
Come check out his music, guys. He's got an EP coming out in September, which we hope to have you back in the studio for.
Thank you.
Team, hit us up with I'm Rachel Chu.
Cool. So, the Rachel Chu is on from the 6th to the 10th of August at Basement Theatre. You can buy tickets online. The easiest way to do it is through Basement's website. You can follow us on Facebook as well, our events page. We'll be posting some cool, fun content. Shout out to Mika as well for, you know, letting us use his studio space. It's really awesome. And also Dione, who's dramaturging and mentoring Nathan. And Yeah, please come check it out. Also, Ravi, Angela, and Amanda will be starring in the show, so please come along.
Amazing. So that is us, guys. We'll be back next week for another exciting episode. And until then, spread love and kindness, be safe, and go out and kick some arts. Yeah, have a good evening, everyone.